But it's the unquantifiable things, isn't it? You know, I have you and I have Ollie.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm slightly biased, I agree. But, you know, I think you make the world a better place, Toby. Not just for me, but, you know, your concerns about politics and, you know, I think walking a good walk that makes the world better, not worse. You know, yeah, leaving a mark that is a positive mark for me. And I don't know how I'm going to do that.
I just want to see the same things you can see. Understand the meaning on a new degree.
This episode features Toby and Lois, who are mother and adult son. And it was a real honor to witness this conversation. I think just being able to see a parent and child, and you're always going to be a child, I don't care how old you are, but you'll always be a child to them. To be able to see mutual respect, to be able to see that there is a solid foundation there. They definitely talk to each other quite frankly and openly. This isn't a new thing for them. Using the cards in this way, I think, just allowed them to kind of springboard into different topics. And there were definitely some memories and some stories and insights that came up that maybe would not have come up organically. So it was a real interesting thing for me to witness two people who communicate very clearly with one another, using the cards to be able to communicate in a different way. They spoke very openly about mental health issues, just what it means to be a human in this day and age, and what it means to define success and how that changes throughout your life and the things that you take for granted. And yeah, it was a very interesting conversation. I put up on YouTube the full versions of all of these conversations. The podcasts are an edited version for attention span, basically, but that doesn't mean that there isn't gold in the long full version. So really, I encourage you to go and watch those if you get the chance, because even just being able to see the conversation ebb and flow, it's super fun and super valuable. So please enjoy this episode. If you are into this, if you are into Talking with Mortals and seeing more of these conversations, then please support me, the Good Morning Society. You can purchase these card decks online, or, you know, if you don't have the funds available, I know a lot of us are strapped. Share, like, subscribe, do all of the things that boost this sort of content, and hopefully I'll be able to create more. But for right now, please enjoy this conversation.
Maybe that could happen when you're next to me. I just want to see the same things you can see.
You do. Okay. Unless you have a preference. Oh, nice. I'm easy.
So, Mum, how have your beliefs about life and death and the great beyond changed throughout your life?
Oh, let's start with an easy one. Very interesting question. So obviously, brought up a little Anglican person with Dad, the vicar, removed from that to Christian Fellowship, non-denominational splinter group, arguably. And then back to Anglicanism aged 18, and now I'm an atheist who believes in the transcendence of life, and, you know, we're all matter. You know, the world was created and it's just full of unimaginable amazingness. Which is continually baffling me. And I said this morning, you know, it's jaw-dropping. Nature is jaw-dropping, and I'm part of that. And I don't need a god, but I understand that there's something bigger. I feel like there's something bigger. And obviously, you know, when my dad died, which is coming up for 5 years ago, it was like, it was really sad not to have him in the world anymore.
For sure.
Yeah, and I really miss him still.
Yeah.
But he's all around me, and he's in me, and he is of me, and I am of him.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that sort of sums it up, really,
yeah,
for me.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I think you've expressed the way it's changed over time.
Yeah.
I,
all of that heaven stuff.
Yeah, becoming an atheist. Yeah. Yeah.
I think I might have been a little bit frightened of death when I was younger. Yeah. And you know my memory is awful and really patchy.
Yeah, mine too.
And I cannot remember the funerals of my gran or my grandpa, my dad's parents. I just have no visuals on them at all.
Okay, right.
But I'm not frightened anymore.
Good.
About it.
Yeah, it's just something that happens, isn't it?
I just don't want a bad death when it's my turn.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing. And, you know, the law on assisted dying for me, that's a really big thing.
Yeah. I reckon it'll change by the time we're thinking about it.
Oh, let's hope so.
In the meantime, we've got Nanny.
Yes, indeed.
Shall I answer the question now?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, nice. It would be interesting to hear what you think about it all.
Well, I must say that my beliefs about death haven't changed massively. I don't think I had any initially.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to medical school when I was 18 or 17. It would have been 18, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you were just 18.
And started working with dead bodies and working with people as well who were coming towards the end of their lives. And
yeah.
It's nice to think that there's a place beyond, but I don't think there is. I think we all just dissipate into a nothingness. But in a nice nothingness, there is lots of energy around us, and matter and energy cannot be created nor destroyed.
Exactly, exactly, yeah.
So it just sort of goes...
It's like ripples in a pond, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And gradually it all settles.
Yeah, but... Everything that you have been to people and to the world remains.
Yes, and gradually those ripples will dissipate into absolute nothingness.
But yeah.
For the people alive, it's very immediate and there's a lot of impact. But then down generations, like your grandparents, they mean nothing to me because I have no clue about them.
Except you might have a little bit of something genetically going on that impacts you. But yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I think we water the vase now, don't we?
Let us water the vase. We like a bit of symbolism.
You go first.
Water the vase. Let's kind of water it a little bit.
You're up.
I'm up. I'm picking from your side of the box. Okay. How do you feel about white lies, Toby?
Useful and half-truths.
Glossing over the truth.
Yeah, it's sometimes necessary.
What you don't know can't hurt you and all
sometimes.
Of that.
Sometimes.
Until you find it out.
Yeah.
And then, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Yeah.
What do you think of white lies?
Yeah, I think sometimes the whole truth is unpalatable and very hard to hear. And you have to be careful with people because people are fragile. And so,
Although who are you to decide?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You have to make decisions, don't you, based on your best judgments.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like, forgiving your parents, isn't it? For the harm that they created. You know, they were doing the best they could do with what they had available and what they knew.
Yeah.
And you just have to come to terms with that. And
Yeah.
White lies.
So that's me up, yeah?
Yeah, go for it, Tobes.
What do you think no one would guess you've survived?
Okay, that's an interesting question.
Mm.
Uh, Okay. Are you answering or am I answering?
Well, I asked first, so you're answering.
Okay,
first.
I think when I look back, my childhood was really quite fucked up in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Yeah, fair. You can leave it at that. I mean, two sectionings, 3 months each.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I look mad.
No.
And so the guess that you survived, I don't think it jumps to mind initially.
No.
Although I have had people tell me that if med school friends say that actually if there was anyone in our year to develop a serious mental illness.
Really?
Yeah.
How interesting.
Well, just I was always burning the candles at all ends.
You were. Division.
Yeah, I mean, that was just poor organisation and ridiculousness, wasn't it?
But it is interesting because you didn't get that ADHD diagnosis, did you, until when?
Fourth year officially.
So what year is that?
22.
Yeah. So it was that diagnosis, was it, that specific learning difficulties, that was a moment for you?
No, like that was just a useful thing. No, I just have always known that I've been quirky.
That word follows me around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a good word. Like, I view it positively. I when I was formally diagnosed with ADHD, I said that it's not that I am misshapen for the world, it's that the world is misshapen for me.
Yeah, because the world is all about conforming, isn't it? And society has norms. And if you don't fit into those norms, then that's not about you. It's about society, isn't it? And why?
Well, it should be.
Absolutely it should be.
Very social model of illness. So.
You know, this is the thing, because I was teaching diversity with Year 8 the other day. Mm-hmm. And we were looking at an extract from The Hate U Give. And we were talking about diversity and the fact to me that, you know, we are all unique cosmic creations, absolutely bloody miraculous in every sense of the word possible.
Yeah.
And we pick on people for being different. We other people, right, left and centre. And you know me, I'm very good at labels. And labels help me, I think. Yeah. Labels for me are very positive and empowering.
Yeah.
But I speak as a white middle class female, so you know I got postcode lucky, didn't I?
Yeah.
You know, but when you realise that absolutely all of us is totally unique,
yeah,
the nonsense of othering somebody,
true,
it's so pathetically, fundamentally ridiculous.
Mm. Yeah, true.
And it just points the finger at society, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because how utterly facile and specious to create these boxes that we're all supposed to fit in.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, we all need a different box, people.
Yeah.
You know, we're all
everyone
unique.
Fits in their own place.
Exactly. I wish more, you know, we talk about, celebrating diversity. It's like, no, let's actually celebrate diversity.
It'd be lovely, wouldn't it, if there was more of that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
It's deeply frustrating to me.
Yeah.
Okay. We're romping through these.
Well, are we? Who knows?
How do you define success, Tobes?
I think it's a sad one, because obviously I've grown up in this capitalist society that we exist in. And so success was about doing well, getting a high-paying job, getting positions of influence. Because as I say, was training to be a doctor and then fell off that pathway. And then tried becoming a teacher and fell off that pathway. And I think that actually what I want to do is improve the world. And so if I make a difference to the world, make a difference to people, then I'll be satisfied. And so defining success, my definition has changed over time, because I wanted, I think I had somebody else's dream originally, and now I have mine.
Yeah, I mean, your parents teach you about life, don't they? And they give you their aspirations, their ideas about what is good, what is bad, and maybe they pin some dreams on you that they didn't alter.
Yeah.
Don't know, really. But yeah, when you work out what it is that you are and what drives you and what you want, that's when you know.
Definitely. And so
how
would I define success? If I had a comfortable existence that is good for the planet and helpful to people, then I'd be quite happy. Filled with love as well.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I think Tobes, just walking a good walk. Mm. Somebody posted, because obviously I've been at this conference for the last couple of days and I'm absolutely knackered, which is why I wasn't quite here at 2:15 as per plan A. And somebody posted this on LinkedIn, you know, I used to define success by, and it was all the sort of capitalist markers of, you know, how much I was earning and how many clients I had and yada, yada, yada. And I just think, you know, right now, by those terms, I'm arguably not that successful. But those are somebody else's terms.
Yeah.
In a, you know, a consumerist, capitalist, male-dominated world.
Mm.
And the more I think about it, the more I think, actually, having enough.
Yeah.
And I have more than enough.
Definitely.
In so many ways. And but it's the unquantifiable things, isn't it? You know, I have you and I have Ollie.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm slightly biased, I agree. But, you know, I think you make the world a better place, Toby. Not just for me, but, you know, your concerns about politics and, you know, I think walking a good walk that makes the world better, not worse, you know, leaving a mark that is a positive mark for me. And I don't know how I'm going to do that, but I make houses better, for example, I think. And, you know, I'm trying to sort of work on being more healthy mentally. But, you know, if I come into contact with people, making somebody's day a better day, making a classroom a better place to be.
That's a tricky one.
God help us, it is. But yeah, I think that's probably success for me right now. Small steps of betterness.
Cool. Yeah.
For the people I contact and the world I inhabit.
Yeah, definitely.
Trying not to use it and abuse it and.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Okay, I can't ask you. Well, I can ask you this question. What was your reaction when you found out you were going to be a parent for the first time? Is there anything I need to know here, Tobes? Anything you're not telling me?
I've been shocked and horrified at my age.
Yes. Horrified.
But no, that's irrelevant to me. No,
yeah.
No children yet.
And I was so excited.
Oh, really?
I was.
Nice.
I was.
Well, that's good.
I was very excited. Yes. It was a wonderful thing.
Well, we hydrate the bath, for sure.
We went and bought some champagne.
And you drank it.
I only had a little sip, again, I'm sure.
Oh, that's a good one. What do you take most for granted in life?
That's a really interesting question. I sort of feel I used to take probably everything for granted.
Yeah.
And the last few years has really taught me to take nothing for granted. But I suppose I assume I'm going to wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
Which is a massive assumption to make, isn't it?
It has happened for the last 50 odd years.
You know, I assume my car is going to start. I assume I'm going to be able to fill it up with petrol and get to work.
Yeah.
But actually, I have learned to be so appreciative of everything that I have.
Nice.
Over recent years, I really do feel how bloody lucky I am.
Yeah.
And how privileged I am.
That's nice.
Yeah. What about you?
I think I took my health for granted.
Okay.
It was August 2022, I was diagnosed with bipolar type 1, which is four and a half years ago.
Yeah.
And prior to that, I'd been fully healthy, hadn't I? So
you had. Very healthy.
Yeah, yeah.
With full of energy and...
Yeah, with perhaps minor hints at a depressive or manic preponderance disposition. But never anything that got me noticed by people.
No.
And now my health isn't so great. Is something that needs to be taken care of more so than just razzing through life.
And I mean, you could easily make that statement for everybody, on everybody's behalf, couldn't you?
What's this? Which one?
Health is not anything you should ever take for granted. And it sort of comes back to what I was saying about nature this morning. You know, the more I learn about the human body, the more amazing I find it, the more, you know, the symbiosis of all the systems, the way everything dovetails, like, just like a beautifully engineered piece of kit.
Yeah, definitely.
And the way we treat ourselves sometimes is abominable.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, I used to take my health for granted and now I don't.
That's good.
I've never taken people for granted.
No.
Because knowing that people can disappear.
Yeah. I get you. I feel you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I've taken people for granted.
No.
I don't know. It's a horrible thing to think that I might have done. Mm. But I think, you know, because I've spent so much time on my own since 2020, I think I really do appreciate, like, you know, you gave me all of your Saturday 2 weeks ago.
I did, yeah.
And I was so grateful for that. I felt so privileged.
Yeah.
It was lovely. And here we are again. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's nice to do that.
Yeah, yeah. But no, people are treasures, aren't they?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Using all the senses, describe a beautiful place you've been.
Too many beautiful places to choose from, but the most recent, just the light coming through the trees. And they're fresh spring green of, I think they're beech leaves just unfolding, just starting. It's just the tiniest little hints and the sun is behind them.
Mm.
And you know this place because this is the Bluebell Wood opposite my house.
Oh, very nice. Yeah,
and I was there this morning and, you know, they've done some work there and they've cut out some old undergrowth and scrub that was sort of taking over and they've brought more light into it and the bluebells are just beginning and some of the you couldn't see the flower spikes at all last week but now you can see they're all green and they're there like little spears, little asparagus spears. And there are one or two of them that are just blue, which John is saying is purple, but I'm saying it's blue. And that's fine, we can agree to disagree.
Yeah.
And yeah, just the smells and the softness of, you know, they've covered those paths with the old pine.
Oh yeah, the chippings.
The chippings from the Christmas trees that people dumped in the park. And it's sort of soft and cushiony underfoot, but it also has this lovely piney, sprucey smell and the woodpeckers banging away with their high pressure skulls this morning. And the crazy parakeets, the squeaky birds. And, Mr. and Mrs. Mallard are now on the pool that you see on the path. And it's all, it's just sublimely beautiful. And I'm so, so lucky. to live 2 minutes walk away from it. Definitely. And I'm super excited about the bluebells.
Definitely.
Can't wait for the bluebells. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And I think that's, for me, the nature thing, but also the amazing architecture thing is part of the transcendence thing. You know, we're humans. Mm-hmm. We're meant to experience this somehow or other, and how we experience it is probably all very much down to the individual, but yeah, but we've got to have it.
Yeah, transcendence is good.
Transcendence rocks.
Yeah, nice. And we need to hydrate.
Hydrate the vase.
Go on, after you.
Okay. We're picking at random?
Yeah, just grab.
Okay, what are your thoughts about living funerals? Would you want one?
I think that'd be pretty cool.
I'm not sure I'm clear about what a living funeral is, Tobes.
So a living funeral is basically like a celebration of life before you're gone.
Before you pop off?
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Like, what a shame that everybody that you know and love gets together after you're gone.
Yeah.
Some people are doing it more like, it's usually like people like you have terminal cancer or something, you're quite close to the end.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I think that sounds like a great idea. And I think there should be more choosing of death. I think once you've lived your allotted time, or what you feel to be your allotted time, you should be allowed to end it in a comfortable way. I watched Project Hail Mary last night.
Okay. Yeah.
The three astronauts who were going to Mars on a one-way trip. And they all got to choose their own method of destruction. Someone wanted a gun. Someone wanted a lethal injection with heroin. And I think, actually, that would be a perfectly comfortable, good, fun way to go, because most people don't try heroin properly when they're alive. And I think that under proper circumstances, that'd be fine to do. It'd be quite a nice celebration for the first few hours, and then just go to sleep, but with a euphoric high.
Okay.
Like, it sounds pretty sick. And you get to see all your people, and then you could just have a little ceremony where you're ashed and then spread later.
Mm. Go and push up some bluebells.
Yeah.
And beech trees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm all for like a living funeral, and think that I will be having one.
Okay.
We've got... I intend to live well until 90. My grandparents are of that age. My great uncle died when he was 97, didn't he?
Was it 97?
It was 97, yeah. So I think living well till you're 90, and then just choosing to shuffle off this mortal coil.
Mm. Yeah, I think choice is important. I think we have the right. Yeah. We should have the right.
Yeah.
And I don't know how anybody thinks they can legitimately say we shouldn't.
Yeah, and I think it's a shame that deaths are currently quite violent, if they're self-inflicted, quite violent or done incorrectly. Most people think that paracetamol, a few boxes of, will kill them. It won't, it'll just mess up the liver.
Yeah.
But people don't know that.
Yeah, I mean, there's always the Clifton suspension bridge, isn't there, or whatever. Yeah. But no, I was at the conference yesterday, and somebody who's a friend of mine actually was in Switzerland last year to say goodbye to her aunt, who had partially moved to Switzerland so that she could use Dignitas.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
We were just talking about how that experience was. And
Yeah.
She said the only thing that wasn't nice was the fact that there were like armed guards there.
Mm.
You know, sort of making sure that everybody was sort of legit and stuff.
No protesters, because I imagine it's quite a controversial place, isn't it?
I don't know. But yeah, I think they do their due diligence to make sure that the person is making their choice autonomously and everything. So living funeral, definitely.
Yeah, because it's just like a party, isn't it? It's a celebration of life.
You should celebrate life.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, 13.8 billion years. It's a long time to be without me. And it's a heck of a long time, whatever is left, without me. So yeah, we should do the celebration, we're there shouldn't for we?
Such a minute span.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the blink of an eye, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, not true. Even.
True.
Not even.
Not even a blink, no.
Mm. Interesting question. Okay, this is a nice one to finish on. The most important things in life are?
Friends, family, love, food.
Music.
Yeah, art.
Yeah, yeah, all of those. All of those things.
Truth, beauty, freedom, love.
Gardens.
Yeah.
Warmth.
Yeah.
She says with quite chilly fingers.
We've got a list there. Nice.
Yeah. A libation to the gods. The gods of the weekend. The gods of the families.
Does that feel to end there?
Yeah, good.
Did it go
away? It was nice.
Yeah. How long have we been talking?
About an hour.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Baby, you know I just like to talk with you. I just wanna go out on